Today on Wings, COVID and the work of journalists in East Africa.
About how I balance my work and home. As a freelance journalist, most of the time I work from the house. And for me, I know when to work and when to attend to my family. So
there's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
African media houses have laid off more and more workers since the start of the COVID pandemic. In Kenya alone, more than 600 journalists are out of a job, including many women who were freelancers and correspondents. Mary Mwendwa freelances with several major outlets and is also the editor of Talk Africa, a website that publishes data-driven stories on development issues. She is active in several journalist organizations, including African Women in Media. From her home in Nairobi, she recorded her side of an online interview by Diana Wanyonyi, our Wings reporter in Mombasa.
My name is Mary Mwendwa. I'm a freelance journalist based in Nairobi, Kenya. I started my journalism career in the year 2004. After I had cleared a diploma in mass communication at the Kenya Institute of Mass Communication in Nairobi. I got motivated to be a journalist while still in high school, although I had an interest in doing finance, but I realized that there was more need for me to venture into journalism, to try and highlight issues affecting women and children, issues affecting the voiceless in the society. That's why my area of reporting has been around health, women and children, gender, among many others. Speaking on the impact of COVID-19 in Kenya and East Africa at large, especially on women, women journalists face a lot of challenges before even COVID came, especially in the newsrooms, because of gender stereotypes. And you find that many newsrooms are headed by men. Very few women get to rise to the very, very top management levels. And therefore, when this COVID-19 came in Kenya in April, the impact was huge to many journalists, especially women, because women are placed under various sections of reporting, like desks that have roles that are less challenging, like the features desk, not because they are not up to the task, but just because of some gender stereotypes, like women cannot report on crime. But there are women out here in journalism who are able to report even on crime, on conflict, and all that. COVID-19 on women has had a huge impact, especially on East African women journalists. This COVID-19 came and found a fragile media environment where many newsrooms, especially in Kenya, were already cutting on costs, and many journalists, especially correspondents, were having a lot of issues in terms of payment. Some were not operating even on retainers. And so when the COVID-19 pandemic came, it doubled the tragedy further. I'll speak for Kenya. Over 600 journalists have been fired, and media houses claiming that they are not able to make profits due to the COVID-19 shocks. And among these 600, quite a good number are women who've been working in radio stations, community radio stations, mainstream media, among other small outlets. So this has hit women in a very big way, because many journalists are now out here with no source of income, with less opportunities for them to venture into media houses. And it's a really a sad situation because it means when these women are out there not making income, it's a challenge even on their livelihoods. Speaking of online harassment on women journalists, this has been an issue, big issue, especially in Kenya, even in around the region, like in Uganda, it's such a big issue. You find that female journalists, something has happened in their life because they're human, especially the celebrities like our news anchors. You will find a lot of bashing, a lot of people following, commenting, stories being done by blogs that are not verified. And this has become very common in Kenya, especially on women journalists. And there is even no clear law that our Cyber Crime Act does not really deal with such an issue. When someone is being harassed online, they are on their own, especially the women. You will find that women are being subjected to even the way they dress, even the way they look, even the way their families are composed. You'll find a woman journalist who decides maybe to step out of an abusive relationship. You will find people bashing them, saying they were prostitutes without any verification. So online harassment has really affected many journalists, especially women here in Kenya. And it's an issue that without proper counseling to the women journalists and advice, it can really, really drain them down in their career. Because many who've gone through this harassment, when you talk to them, they'll tell you it reaches a point they cannot take it no more. It really hurts them and their immediate families. That said, I'll speak about the pay cuts or poor working conditions. In Kenya, many media houses do not have a standardized way of paying wages to or salaries to their journalists. The way journalists are paid is very secretive, and there is no standard way of paying. Let's say a cameraman has to be paid within this range. Let's say an anchor has to be paid in this range. Every media owner comes up with their own terms, and this makes it very difficult even to have a standardized way of having paying method to journalists. So this has made even some journalists who are very good, who are veterans, to be stuck on a certain type of pay without promotion, without adding them anything. And this has really made them demoralized. You'll find some cameramen who've stayed in media houses more than 20 years. Nobody bothers to promote them. Nobody bothers to give them a pay hike. Instead, like this time of COVID-19, you'll find that now their pay have been cut. The media houses citing that they do not have enough money to pay them because advertisements have gone down. Speaking on working conditions, it's a tricky area because you will find that mainstream media houses will try to take good care of their main reporters and their main anchors, giving them better terms, giving them good insurance policies. You find correspondents in the field and rural areas operating on nothing. They do not have medical cover. Some are hired on the phone. Some are even fired over the phone. So you find a correspondent in a village or in a rural area without any form of insurance. Their stories are sometimes killed, their stories are paid very little, and even the pay comes very late. This correspondent has no power even to question why they are being paid little money. You question, you are blacklisted, you are fired. So it's a very sad situation for especially journalists who operate in the rural areas, even in Nairobi, in towns, and they are branded as, and they are working as correspondents. their working terms and working environment is not good, because if anything happens on them, that's the end of them, because media house will go ahead and pick another one and forget about the correspondent. So it's an issue here in Kenya, and even having organizations that promote human rights, promote journalism rights, it's an issue of policy. And as you know, policy needs stakeholders, needs concerted efforts to be able to address that. And this issue has led to challenges, like you'll hear people talking of brown envelopes, people saying journalists are being bribed, journalists are extorting money from their sources. So it's a very delicate balance, and it has really even trickled down to the type of stories that they are being done. Because you will find that content is being diluted more and more. You will find that very few journalists are willing to take investigative journalism. Very few journalists are willing to work on taxing assignments, like very detailed analytical pieces where they interrogate an issue. So you'll find that these journalists are maybe demoralized, and they'll only follow very, very small news items or news features that do not take a lot of energy, resources for them to do. So you'll find they go for those small stories to keep them for the day. And this has really affected the way stories are being channeled to our media houses. If you compare with other outlets like the New York Times, The Guardian, Al Jazeera, you will find that these people have really invested in their journalists. And for sure, when you read their articles, you will see a big difference. You will see the kind of energy, the kind of input, the kind of research, the kind of resources that go into those stories. A clear indicator that they value their journalists.
On Wings, you are listening to Mary Mwendwa, a well-known freelance journalist from Nairobi and editor of Talk Africa Media. She is recording in her home her answers to interview questions posed by Wings reporter Diana Wanyonyi. Mwendwa's comparison of working with Kenyan versus international media is informed by her own experiences. She put tremendous effort into preparing for international work. Here she lists courses she took after earning her media degree.
I then got to attend another specialized training at Daystar University, where I did a certificate course in environmental reporting, which was sponsored by CEDA in partnership with Makerere University. I have further done other short courses on many areas of journalism, like data journalism. I did a course in 2016 sponsored by the Open Knowledge Society. I've also been trained on conflict-sensitive reporting, and I recently gained a certificate in safety for journalists, and many other small courses that are relevant for my journalism work. And the media houses, I believe they'll still want people to work for them. So I do not know how that will work. As I said, many media houses had already started cutting on their staff. So when COVID came, they just continued sacking journalists. And I hear more and more will still be sacked. So these journalists will be out here looking for jobs or doing other things. As I said, it's a policy issue, so let's see what happens. The impact of COVID-19 on journalists has come with several challenges, especially I'll talk of freelance journalists, not based at a particular media house. So if such a journalist does not have money for the PPE, then it means they'll not be able to cover a COVID-19 story. But a journalist, maybe a reporter based in a big media house, the media house will provide PPEs, so they'll be safe. So COVID-19 locked out some freelance journalists because they were not able to afford PPEs. And as you know, COVID-19 is a highly infectious disease, so that made them not even to cover the stories. Secondly, many media houses were not commissioning stories, so these journalists were not able to get income. And cessation of movements like the curfews in Kenya means many journalists were confined in their areas of work, or many journalists were confined in their homes, so they were not able to go out and do stories. On a positive note, organizations like RORIPEC, IWMF came up with the COVID-19 relief grants. They were able to distribute to freelance journalists and other journalists across the world. And of course, they could not give everyone. So the few who got the relief funds were able to meet a few of their bills here and there. Speaking of mental health and sexual harassment, these two issues are big and they affect many journalists in the newsroom. Many journalists work under stressful conditions because of the nature of the stories they do, and even sometimes the pressure that comes with the work they do. You'll find journalists who report on crime, covering very disturbing scenes and incidences. Journalists who report on health are doing stories that are emotionally draining because they get to meet people who are sick with different ailments, and that really drains them emotionally. You will find that, like myself, I do a lot of stories around sexual harassment among children, defilement, and these are not stories that are easy to cover. They drain you emotionally, and many of our media houses do not have a specialized arrangement for people who are feeling mentally down to be able to follow that. So it means if a journalist feels they are mentally drained, they seek help from professionals, and as you know, maybe freelancers and correspondents, they'll have to use their own money. However, there are organizations and forums that have come up to help such journalists, like IREX in Kenya. They do a lot of training and mentorship on mental health for journalists. And during the COVID-19 also, organizations like RORIPEC, IWMF and all that have come up with courses to help journalists deal with their mental being as they do their work. And this, I'm sure, will really come in handy for those journalists who are having mental breakdown after doing some of these stories. Something else I wanted to talk about is that during the post-election violence in Kenya in 2007, journalists were among people who came face to face with the people who were affected, people who had been slaughtered, people who had been beaten to death, and many, especially the photographers and the journalists who were meeting the victims at first hand, were really affected. Some up to now are still going through therapies to be able to cope. So it's a very delicate area, but I believe with the needed help from various stakeholders, journalists are able to cope. In regard to sexual harassment, it's also a serious issue, especially in the newsrooms for ladies. It happens, and there are no clear policies, and if they're there, they are not implemented. You will find that a lady journalist, maybe in a newsroom, has gone through sexual harassment, and they go report to the boss, and the boss is a man. So they are being told to produce evidence. Maybe this lady was touched indecently. So how do they even produce evidence? And it has become tricky for women journalists even to come forward and raise and even have cases that can even go to court around this, because we have the Sexual Offences Act in Kenya. But now it's difficult from the newsroom's level to be able to come up with such a case, because most of the times the lady will be told to produce evidence. And again, there is this fear of being stigmatized by fellow employees, and even chances are high these journalists will lose their job. So you will find that a journalist will decide to leave, just to step aside and go do other things, when they are not able to deal with that case of harassment. So it's a serious issue in the newsrooms. You'll find that someone is really good in a docket. They're not being commissioned, or you'll find they have been demoted because they did not give in to someone's demands within the newsroom. Or you find young journalists coming from universities, joining newsrooms, being harassed, and they have nowhere to report, they have nobody to talk to, so you'll find them leaving the newsrooms and going to venture into other fields that maybe they were not interested in the first place. So about how I balance my work and home, as a freelance journalist, most of the time I work from the house, and for me, I know when to work and when to attend to my family. So I try my best to balance both. And personally, what I do, if I have an assignment that needs a lot of concentration and all that, I prefer doing at night, because at night there is less noise, there is less interruptions, my baby will be asleep. So I just plan my time well, and the beauty around it is that I'm able to have good time with my family, good time to be able to look after my children, good time to be able to just monitor everything around my life and children. In Kenya, we have so many associations that have journalists as their members. We have the Association of Women in Kenya. We have the Association of Freelance Journalists, of which I'm a member. We have the Correspondents Association. All these associations have journalists, and during this COVID-19 pandemic, they've come in handy, because the Media Council of Kenya has been giving some funds to these associations to help the journalists file stories around COVID-19. So many journalists have been able to receive some small fund for their stories on COVID-19. And this has really helped them, because they are able to file some stories with some small support from the associations. Also, these associations have planned for many trainings through partnerships with other organizations, especially Association of Media Women in Kenya had a training for the journalists who had lost their jobs, to take them through the process and also to advise them on what they can do next. And the journalists are able to meet other journalists because through WhatsApp groups they share what they are going through, they share opportunities, they share ideas, they share dockets. If something is happening somewhere, when it's shared on the WhatsApp group, the journalists are able to apply. And also opportunities shared on the platforms. There's been a lot of funding from organizations in terms of grants on stories around COVID-19, environment, and all that. So through such associations, platforms, through WhatsApp, journalists have been able to apply for story grants. And those who've qualified have been awarded grants and they've been able to do stories. There's also this body known as African Women in the Media, founded by Dr. Yemisi, a Nigerian award-winning journalist. It has also been very helpful to African journalists. They've been doing a lot of trainings during this COVID-19 period. They've done trainings on Wikipedia editing. They've done stories on health reporting. They've done a lot of trainings around many areas of journalism. And this has been really a booster to female journalists in Africa. And recently, I think a week ago, they had a conference, a virtual conference, of course. And journalists won awards up to $2,000 on various thematic areas like migration, technology and innovation. And this will come in handy for the journalists who won the awards because they'll be able to get some money to help them pursue their stories. So all in all, I must say that even with COVID-19 pandemic, there are opportunities that have come up, especially the training opportunities that the many organizations are bringing on board. And these trainings will help many, many journalists in their future work, because there is no training that you go through that goes to waste, because it is something that you'll use in your line of work. Thank you.
That was well-known freelance journalist Mary Mwendwa, speaking from her home in Nairobi, Kenya. You can find some of her work on her website, talkafrica.co.ke. The site includes a whole section on gender, as well as climate change, agriculture, science, and development. Again, that is talkafrica.co.ke. Mwendwa was interviewed for Wings by Diana Wanyonyi. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. And please check our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose online events can be found through the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.